First of all, I want to thank Professor Moy for his very interesting and illuminating talk. And I think that the best thing for us to do now is to listen to a bit of music. By the way, it is the song is a Hebrew song, a Hebrew religious song, Yadach Asat, which means, O Lord, whatever it is in your power to do, do with all your might. Performed by the Israeli choir Tiferet HaMizrach, the glory of the East. Let's hear it. And relax now. Tiferet HaMizrach is a religious choir of male singers, both boys and men. It was established in 1993 in Jerusalem by Yaakov Mizrahi, a poet and musician who is also its music director. The poets and musicians of the choir, as well as its audience, are Orthodox. There is a I think it's okay now, yeah. The poets and musicians, no. The poets and musicians of the choir, as well as its audience, are Orthodox Jews originating in Arab countries. It is the largest, most professional, and best known choir among this religious group in both Israel and Europe, as well as in the Americas, but is completely unknown to most Israelis. The Orthodox Jews from Arab countries do not belong to the most admired sector of Israeli society. But then again, one might ask, who does? The reasons for this attitude are many, complex, and beyond the scope of this paper. However, one reason in particular can illumine and explain this fact. This social group has a firm stance on the most important, long-lasting, and controversial debate in Israeli society, which is that concerning its new identity in its new country. At the center of this debate stand two pivotal issues: secularism versus religion, and Western culture versus Eastern culture, that is chiefly Arabic culture. These issues stand postured like four boxers in one small boxing ring in an ongoing match, punching each other endlessly with no foreseeable winner. In this boxing match, this particular group of Orthodox Jews represents the religious and Eastern cultured boxers, the wrong ones, according to many Israelis. Jewish religion and Arabic culture are the two components which together shape the songs of Tiferet HaMizrach. They are songs with Hebrew religious text set to existing melodies of popular Arabic songs. These two components also constitute the identity of the poets and the musicians who create and perform these songs, and the wider audience which appreciates them. They are Jewish in their religious belief and Arab in many aspects of their culture. How do these people see themselves through this music? How do they see themselves in the wider cultural context of Israeli society? I will try to answer these questions, turning primarily to the Israeli radio programs dedicated to the celebration of the 10th anniversary of the choir. But first, a few words about the choir, its musicians, its poets, and its repertoire. The choir was established in the singing tradition of the Halab Jews, a tradition which flourished in Jerusalem in the early 20th century and has continued there ever since. The aim was to restore and preserve the original music of the Jews originating in Arab countries, and thus lehashiv atara leyoshna, to restore the crown to its identity, that is, to recreate the original glorious identity of these Jews by restoring the ancient religio-cultural tradition of their past before their immigration to Israel. All members of the choir are Israelis of the first, second, or even third generation of Jews emigrated from various Arab countries in the early 50s, including Syria, Iraq, Egypt. They are also from Yemen and North Africa. Most of the solo singers are famous cantors who divide their time between Israel and the Jewish communities of Arab origin in the Americas and Europe. The orchestra includes musicians who are Israeli Muslims as well as Jews, and most of them play original Arabic instruments. Many of the Jews are from Iraq, Syria, Egypt, and a few were prominent musicians in their native countries, such as the Egyptian conductor and violinist Zuzu Musa, the Iraqi Qanun player Abraham Selman, and the Iraqi Nai player Albert Elias. The repertoire of the choir comprises songs which belong to the paraliturgical genre, that is, song performed outside the liturgy on occasions with religious significance. The form and language of the Hebrew text is influenced by the original Arabic songs, and the music is completely Arabic. These exact characteristics are typical of the classical paraliturgical song, whose texts and music have a history of more than 1,000 years within Arabo-Islamic cultural domain and under its strong influence. The songs of the choir are both old, written mainly during the 19th century in Halab by poets such as Rafael Antabi and Shlomo Laniado, and new, written by Israeli poets such as Yaakov Mizrahi and Menachem Mustaki. The modern poets retain the main characteristics of the classical paraliturgical song, including its strong Arabic influence. Their poetic language comprises biblical Hebrew, inspired by the classical genre, and a special Hebrew dialect which amalgamates Hebrew and Arabic words. This dialect is spoken by many Jews originating in Arab countries. The music of both the old and the new songs is borrowed from the same Arabic sources. The melodies of the new songs are mostly 20th century Egyptian love songs of famous singers such as Sayyid Darwish, Umm Kulthum, Abdel Halim, and Abdel Wahab, or famous Syrian singers such as Wadi Asafi and Sabah Fakhri. Given that the music is still completely Arabic, this also dictates all the aspects of the singing style of these songs, in which the pronunciation of the Hebrew text is very similar to that of the Arabic original song. Furthermore, the songs continue to be created, taught, and practiced using the same method that have prevailed for centuries, combining written text and oral transmission of the melody. As Mizrahi has said, and I quote, "Notation is not a helpful thing to have. The shmi'ah, a good ear, is the most important skill needed for a good cantor," end quote. And now let's hear an example of that. The original Arabic song is Shams el Asil, performed by Umm Kulthum. Do I need to present Umm Kulthum for you? Umm Kulthum was one of the most loved and admired singer in the Arab culture. She died in 1975. She was known to be a very, very talented singer, and she could handle an evening of 6-7 hours with people who just go mad by listening to her singing again and again, only one song or even one phrase 10-12 times. And it was really a very special phenomenon, which I don't think there is any parallel in the Western culture for this kind of admiration and talent. Sirt al-Hub was written in 1955 by Bayram al-Tunisi, and the music was written by Riyad al-Sambati, again one of the most important Egyptian composer. Sirt al-Hub is a love story of a woman that sings for her lover, and the translation of it is it's not Sirt al-Hub, it's Shams al-Asil, Shams al-Asil, the Twilight Sun. And this Shams al-Asil in Hebrew turns to be Shama v'Hitzil, God listened and saved. The text was written in 2000 in Jerusalem by Yaakov Mizrahi. We first listen to a few minutes from Umm Kulthum. I know it's really a crime against humanity to give only 3 minutes of Umm Kulthum, but we don't have more than that. And immediately after that, we will hear Tiferet HaMizrach singing the same song in Hebrew. I think it's the next one.
Thank you.
Please feel free to sing with her. Now the Hebrew one. Listen to that. Fascinating.
Thank you.
The Hebrew text is, of course, a love song for God. The text of this song includes quotations of the Arabic original text, such as Ya Habibi, O my love, Ya Aini, O my eyes, Ya Ruhi, O my soul, Hayati, my life, terms that refer to the lover in the original Arabic song and to God in the Hebrew text. Names of God such as Rab, Creator, and Allah, God, in the original song appears unchanged in the Hebrew text. There are also phonetic imitations of the Arabic words in Hebrew such as Yalel, O night, in Arabic, which turns into Yael in Hebrew, that is, O God. Another example is the Arabic word Dunya, world, which appears in Hebrew in the Hebrew text as Adonya, two names for God. The great esteem in which the choir is held by its fans, musicians and poets was expressed in August 2003 during the celebrations of its 10th anniversary. Two long evening sessions dedicated to the choir were broadcast on the illegal radio station Kol HaEmet, the Voice of Truth, a radio station associated with Sash, Sephardic Torah's Guardians, an Orthodox political party given voice to this social group, which a short time after was shut down by Israeli authorities and only recently was opened again, this time legally. In a warm and festive atmosphere, all participants expressed in their special Hebrew dialect their love and admiration for the choir and its music. The core idea reflected in their words can be put this way. We are the followers of a great and ancient tradition which will lead us to the days of Messiah. And this music is a fundamental part of this tradition and of who we are. When describing the thoughts and feelings about the choir and its music, its musicians and its poets, all the participants repeatedly referred, in various ways and context, to two fundamental things: Jewish religion and Arabic culture. For example, here is Mizrahi's description of the songs, and I quote, "This is the Halab Jewish cantillation prevalent in Jerusalem in the Muwashah style with ancient Arabic singing, which is known to be the original singing of the Levites in the temple," end quote. It is important to pay attention not only to the presence of these two components in Mizrahi's words, but also to the way they are interwoven in his description. They are delivered with no separation, in one breath, almost with unawareness of this mixture. The songs are described as one homogeneous, distinctive and coherent genre. Where, one might ask, is the Israeli component? I don't know, perhaps it was not mentioned at all throughout the whole two long programs by any of the participants because they don't find this music relevant to the Israeli context. Or perhaps it is obvious for them that they are Israelis. This genre, which was described by all as Shirat HaKodesh, holy singing, symbolizes and reflects the past, the present, and the future of the Jewish identity of this group. The past is reflected through the long Jewish tradition at its best, as the singing of the Levites in the temple, and as the traditional and long-lasting style of Halab cantillation prevalent in Jerusalem. At present, this genre is considered to be mechazek, something which makes you stronger in your religious belief. The future is represented in this genre by the hope of once more hearing this beautiful music in the restored temple. The religious importance of the genre is emphasized by a quotation from Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, the spiritual and political leader of this group, who stresses the Ma'alat HaShira, the virtue of singing in Judaism. He said, and I quote, "In the letters of Rabbi Akiva, God says, I shall open the tongue and the mouth of the people so they can praise and sing for me and crown me in the four winds of heaven, because I have not created my world, but for the poetry and the singing that they recite for me every day. End quote. The poets and singers also refer to the religious aspect of the genre and describe themselves as the servants of the audience and of God. They wish lesamech Elohim va'adam ad shehamashiach yavo, to gladden God and men until the Messiah comes. All participants referred to Arabic music as an inherent part of their own original and ancient culture, exhibiting extensive knowledge of both the maqamat, musical scales, and the composers, including the Jewish ones, such as the Egyptians Zaki Murad and Dawood Hosni. When asked why they didn't compose their own music, they replied, and I quote, "There is no one here, that is, in Israel, who can compose music of this high quality," end quote. Members of the audience described Arabic music as a language which medaberet eleinu, speaks to us, and with which we feel at home. It is the music that we love and to which we feel a sense of belonging, because our fathers and their fathers, many generations before, had listened to this music and didn't know any other. The fact that the melodies are borrowed from secular Arabic love songs composed and sang by Arab Muslims doesn't seem to bother these Orthodox Jews at all. The prevalent view, which was expressed by Mizrahi, is the Jews taught the Muslims the music which the Levites used to sing in the temple, each day a different maqam. The Muslims kept these ancient melodies, and now we learn it from them. It is all documented in manuscripts buried under the temple. End quote. I don't know about that, but it's fantastic, I think. The natural amalgamation of Jewish religion and Arabic culture is described, unsurprisingly, by Havusha, one of the most a famous cantor in this genre and among this group of people. And I quote his words, "Nobody today but our cousins, the Muslims, writes this kind of artistic and sophisticated music anymore. A music which allows you, as a poet, to write meaningful text of real worship and love to God. God gifted the Muslims composers with this talent and sent them to us to make our music better and more appropriate for worshipping Him. Our duty is to preserve this wonderful music and to attract as many people as we can to listen to and love this music, which is our classical music." End quote. Well, it is a fact that this genre interests and attracts only this group of people. It is also a fact that these celebrations wouldn't have been broadcast on any other conventional Israeli radio station, perhaps because for the average Israeli, this genre is completely unknown. Yet, all the participants in these two radio programs saw themselves as Am Israel, the people of Israel, and by no means as a minority in Israeli society. They perhaps exist in a cultural bubble, but it seems like a complete one. By expressing in their special Hebrew dialect their admiration of their special songs and celebrating their special music on their own radio station, these Orthodox Jews created their own unique and complete cultural cosmos. In this cosmos, the question of whether they or their music is accepted or rejected or even ignored by the wider Israeli public seems almost irrelevant. With confidence and joy, these Orthodox Jews originating in Arab countries fill their space with their own special religious and cultural presence and see themselves as Am Israel, past, present, and future. I hope that this amazing fact will leave you to reflect on the nature of Arabic culture in general and that of the Arab Jews in particular, especially in the light of the present day political reality, both in the Middle East and in the wider world. Thank you very much.